to what God's doing for us as a church.
And welcome. It's always good to see just everybody here.
If I get the name and names, I'm horrible. So, but also it's good to see the Dobson family back with us. Good to see them. And just looking forward to what God's doing in every life. And I know one thing, the Lord's going to come soon.
Amen.
Now that soon could be tomorrow, it could be today, but I know He's coming soon. And I want to do everything we can to do the will of God. And just let's just keep our minds on heaven. Psalms 139. And when you get there, just give me a good amen. Praise the Lord. Psalms 139, we're going to start reading in verse 13 and going to go through verse 18. And we'll give you a few more moments. I know there's some transitioning going on and people have to do the offering and all that. So just give them another minute or so. We'll let you get there. Psalms 139 and 13. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Verse 13, we're going to read all the way down to verse 18. And this is what it says. For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which is the continuance were fashioned, as which as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Amen. You ever heard those verses before? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Knowing that God has made us. And I'm going to start a series of messages, and I don't know how far we'll get and how many we'll do, but I was praying, and I'm going to start a series of messages, and I would title the series on It Matters. It Matters. And today what we're going to preach on is your DNA matters. Amen. Anybody ever heard of DNA? I mean, and I ain't going to act like I know what all that is. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm far from understanding everything about DNA and cells and chromosomes. And I don't even think the doctors know everything about it. They're still learning because they can't create. But I know who doesn't. I know who knows everything about it, and it's God. So as we look at this today, I want to just get this down to the minute detail. And I really, the other day, this message came to me just almost like a flood. And there's sometimes a message, you labor and you're trying to figure something out doctrinally and all that. But this was just one of those things that just was there. And I could take you to 7 sheets of paper, maybe 6 at home, where I was just writing down things, just coming to heart, verses of Scripture, and begin to study out. But I want you to understand today, it matters, and your DNA even matters. Down to the very minute detail about your life, everything matters. And we live in what has been labeled as a postmodern mindsetted society. And what that is in a postmodern society is this, is that there's absolutely no absolutes. Which means that there's nothing you can build upon. Which means that you have your truth and I have my truth. And you can do what you feel is right and I do what I feel is right. And what postmodernism is that there's nothing really. Everybody's got their own truth, so everybody can really do what they want to do. Now, we know that as a Christian that completely goes out the window because we live in the realm of absolutes. I don't question where I come from. I don't question how the world got here. I don't question, and I don't have to go to Mars or Pluto or Saturn to figure that out. I don't have to look at none of that. I know where I came from. God created us, amen? And everything down to every detail in your life, to your gender, your color, your height, your stature, your eye color, your genetic code, your DNA, your chromosomes, and your cells in your body. God knows who you are, and He knew who you were the day that you were formed in your mother's womb. So my friend, I don't know what's going around nowadays when everybody's wanting to change their identities. If you're born a man, that's what God wanted you to be. If you're born a woman, that's what God wanted you to be. If you're born and who you are, the family you're in, the husband, the wife that God allowed you to marry. And I know there's some mistakes that are made, but I do know this. God knows us and everything about us, my friend. There is no mistake made when God created you. It is the will of God for you to be in this world. It's the will of God for you to be born in the time that you were born in. If God wanted you born in the 1800s, you'd have been born then. Amen. I told that to the church before. I was reading a book written in the 1700s, had a lot, 1800s, had so much truth in it, but it was a message that was relevant for the 1800s, and some of it, I didn't even understand the terminology, because we do have AC nowadays. You hear me? God allowed you to be born in the generation you're born in. And that, my friend, is why we live where we live. And we've got to understand it's the will of God for you to be here in the day that you are, the age that you are. But we do understand this. All of us are different. Many of us look different. Our families are different. Some are here, you're short and tall. Your personality is different. You were born a different year and a different day from most. I know sometimes they're saying birthday, but this is a fact. All of us are different and have differences right down to our DNA. I've heard somebody say this before, that there's somebody in the world that is your twin. And that may be so high, but this is a fact, that there's something different about you. There is only one you. There is not two of you. There cannot be two of you. You can't even clone it. They can't figure out how to clone it because they didn't make it. You have to understand, there's only one you, and we have to put our life into context from that. You should not desire to be anything else but who God made you to be. You should not desire to be any other gender. I mean, whatever you are, God made you to who you are, and you've got to find contentment in that. Psalms 139, 13 through 18, the verses that I read to you, and this is, as I study this is one of the greatest passages in literature about the miracle of human conception and birth. Eugene Peterson said this: in the presence of birth, we do not calculate, but we can only marvel, which means they have not figured it all out yet. They're still, I'm amazed when we have a 6-month-old, and every parent can testify to this. I am amazed of how just all of it comes together, and how all of it is formed in that gestational period, and how everything just comes to this world, and how that baby develops, and how the mind develops, and how the head has a soft spot on it so the head can go. I mean, it blows my mind. There's no way that you cannot look at that without recognizing that it's God and God only that can produce that. That's something that is amazing. So David declared this, that God is present at conception, gestation, and at birth, because we are made in the image of God, and God has a special purpose for each person who is born. You're not born in this world by happen chance. You're not born just because this was a mistake. No, God knew who you were, and even when you were conceived and gestated in your mother's womb. So we live in our bodies our whole entire life, and we know how amazing they are. I'm still amazed at our bodies at times. I mean, how our motor skills is, how our mind and our body, how it all operates, and your lungs and your heart and your kidneys and everything about you. I mean, how the body can recover when it is healthy and it is right standing. So much about it. It is amazing. But God formed us, and He wants us to be what He has made us to be. And we must accept His will, no matter how we feel about our genetic structure, our looks, our abilities. God knows who you are, and be content with being who God created you. Amen. Now follow me here. The words that are used in these verses are very special. There's a quick word study. That word covered there in verse 13 is actually woven together and intertwined. It is a verb of actually when you are in the mother's womb, it says that God allowed you to be intertwined and woven and put together. Oh, how amazing is that? It says in verse 15, curiously wrought. And that word there means embroidered or embroiderer. It is by implication to fabricate or needlework or curiously to be worked. It is the idea of being something that is made and something that has been designed and something that has been put together. That word there, curiously wrought, is also translated in the Bible when it's talking about the tabernacle and the making of the curtains in the tabernacle. It's that word needlework in the Bible. It means that somebody purposely did that. It was not by chance. God knows you as an individual in this world. So basically, the Lord weaves a human being in the mother's womb. Every fabric is brought to life. Every chromosome cell is pieced together. And my friend, this is something else that is amazing. David goes on to say this, that He has planned and determined my days. The structure of the words here presents that God constructed you from an embryo to who you are today and what you're going to be in the future. God knows everything about you from the very beginning to the very end. And if you yield yourself to Jesus and find that fulfilled life and victorious life, there's no day you got untapped potential in your life of what God wants to do with you. But you would have to admit to me, my friend, today, as we're discussing this, and the question would be this: is your life by chance, or if it's well woven pattern? But there's a mindset today that thinks everything's just by chance. I mean, you're just here. It's scary how atheists believe. They don't know where you come from and they don't know where you're going. It's scary. And I say this all the time. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. It's too many questions. I've got absolutes in the Word. And as I look at this, my friend, the question is your life by chance or is it woven together by God? Shakespeare said this, and I definitely don't agree everything with him, but he did say this: is the human story a tale told by idiots or full of sound and fury, and the sound of fury signifying nothing? What he was saying is this: is life just full of nothing? Are we going anywhere? What is life all about? But you have to take into consideration there is a grand design, not just for the world, but for the individual. God is universal. Everything a scientist finds out in outer space, he knows it's there. I read something not too long ago. They found a fish somewhere in the ocean. I said, God knew the fish was there. They said, it may have been here. This, I said, I don't care how long it's been here. God knew it was there. God is universal, but yet He is so individual. God is that kind of person. He can set up nations, but He also sets up lives. He sets up kingdoms and tear down kingdoms, but He also sets up individuals. If you are a king or if you are a peasant, God knew who you were the day that you were formed, the day that you come into this world. God knew who you were, but there has to be the right perspective of the design in which you were created. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this: but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now follow me here. I want you to follow me right here. The author of these words was Paul. And Paul, these words came from a heart of one who knew much. He suffered much. He endured much. He wrote much. But he understood that God had a design in his life. And he says, guess what, saints? It hadn't even entered into your mind of heart what we're going to be one day. I want you to follow me. I don't want to be confusing, because sometimes I feel things in my heart and I can't put them into words. Now, this is what I want you to understand. If God has prepared something for me that will literally take my breath away one day, He plans to give me a new body and a new mind. He has a purpose for my body and my mind. If God has a future purpose for your body and mind, does He not have a present purpose? Hey, man, I mentioned this last week. We get so caught up, I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't wait to get to church. I can't wait to get up there and worship God. I can't wait to worship God right here. Because I understand this. Not only is there purpose for me there, there's purpose for me here. God has something in store for us as individuals right now. He has put a specific purpose for my body, for my mind here on earth, as well as for your body and for your mind. But the question is this: how can we see all this divine intersecting come together? My friend, we look at life sometimes and we see all the different pieces of the puzzle, and at times it is overwhelming. And my friend, I want to tell you, all of it is to your good, and God knows what is going on. So this would be the question I have been asked before. Brother Derek, if God knows everything about me, why is it that we have heart-wrenching tragedies? Why is it that we're wounded? Why is it that we're done wrong? Why is it we have heart-wrenching tragedies that wound you, or the ecstasy of great delight that brings you laughter to your soul? You have to understand, this is part of life. This is the yin and the yang, the positive and the negative. We have both sides in this world. There's going to be times you go through woundings and tragedies and the pain in your body and sickness, and there's going to be times that you have the ecstasy of great delight and satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is the question: how can you meet God in your appointments and your disappointments? If you're made and you have a purpose, I want to tell you today, church, God has appointments in your disappointments. You ever had an appointment at the doctor's office? You go in, next, Derek, they call me, and I get up there, you go back, because I had an appointment. I want to tell you, my friends, some of the greatest appointments you ever have with God will be in your disappointments. You say, how can that be? If God loved me, He will let me go through that. No, God loves you enough to let you go through it. There's sometimes what you go through is preventing something greater in your life. You know the concept of a vaccine? I'm sure many of you know what that is, because, man, we get poked our whole life with needles. I mean, if you haven't figured it out, you know, we get immune to one strand of something, so we get another one, and one of these days we're going to continue to get them, and I don't know what's going to happen to the major Ebola. Somebody said, come, I don't know. I'm hoping to get out of here. But this is my thing. The concept of a vaccine is this, is that they take something that is small and it fights something that is major. That if they can take a small form of sickness, that they can take that and they can try to counter a bigger form of sickness. I would submit to you today that when God allows you to go through something in life, it may seem big to you at that time, but it may be preventing something even bigger in your life. It may be a dose of something, a prevention that is up the road, and God wants us to understand that He's there in our appointments and even in our disappointments. And we've got to understand God loves us. How can you recognize God's purpose even when all around you seems wrong and hopeless? You said, Brother Derek, when I'm sitting there in the middle of my valley, how can I see God there? My friend, when you don't feel like you've got any hope, know this, that God was there the day you were born, and God's going to be there the day that you die. If you're there and you don't understand if you'll make it another week in your trial, know that God was there the day that you were formed in your mother's womb, and the day that you go back into this earth or go in the rapture, He's going to be there then. If you have that perspective, you figure out that God cares about you, even down to every year, to your DNA and your very makeup. Now follow me. Why this DNA and why this bodily makeup for every individual? We're all different. I come from what we call the chapels. We're short. And many of us get pretty big. And I'm fighting it. You know, I'm telling you, I am. It don't look like it, but I win sometimes and I win. My granddad, Brother Glenn knew him, but they say he was short. He was just a stocky fella. And if you met my cousin Adam, he's kind of got the same frame. I mean, just stocky looking. I mean, he looks different. That's them. So we understand all of us are different, but you have to understand many, if they were to be honest, would change something about themselves. Now, I know many of you are probably perfectly content who you are. But don't you just tell the truth. Have you ever said, I wish I was a little taller? I'm just saying for me, if I went to read something, I said, man, why couldn't I be 6'3"? And then the guy that's 6'3" said, man, why can't I be 6 foot? I don't know. I'm just following. Everybody's got a different makeup, and I see a lot of hidden. I'm glad I ain't the only one. Something somewhere about you, you would change some feature, some attribute, if you're honest, usually somewhere in your life. And I know the older you get, the less of your cares would have hurt. I don't know if that's true, but I do know this, that you would change something somewhere in your life. But life is not a video game where you choose the character you're going to be. Now, I know some older wouldn't understand what I'm talking about. Anybody ever heard of a Wii? I get a lot of nods. Whew. My little brother years ago got a Nintendo Wii, and what a Nintendo Wii is some sort of system, and I don't just like DNA, I don't have it all figured out on that either. But I do know that when he said, come on here and play it. So I went and signed on to it, and you create a character on that game or something like that. Who do you think my character looked like? You think I made him 5'10", slightly fighting the obese, not obesity, but a little overweight? You think I made him look strong. And you could tell the difference when he's on the football field. They said, man, look at that big fellow right there. What I was saying is this, is that if I could really choose, I probably wouldn't be this size, you know. That's me. So what I'm saying is life isn't a video game where you just choose what you want to be. But my friend, why do you have the body you have? Why do you have the DNA, the genetic code that you have, the personality that you have, the features that you have, the family that you have, the town that you were born in, the kids that you have, and et cetera, on and on? Why are you the way that you are? And my friend, there's this modern fantasy of breaking out of our bodily limits. I mean, what kid in this world didn't want to be Superman? At one point, I mean, he could fly, but your body can't fly unless you get in a Delta airplane and pay that $300 or $400. Because what it is, there's a fantasy in this world of breaking past the limits of the body. There's just that mindset that breaking past being that superhuman. And even I've read this, that there's even an obsession of movies that are being made about waking up as somebody else. They make movies and make millions of dollars, you know, waking up and just, wow, I woke up and I was this person that I wasn't before. And you see what I'm saying? That shouldn't be. You're you. And that's what you've got to understand. Your features are more than just your identity. Your face, your nose, your mouth, your eyes, your height are more than just your identity. Your cells, your DNA. My friend, you're more than just a number. You have a name. Consider this. The body, face, features, coloring contains the mark that identifies us to other individuals. But really, what they really are, my friend, is this. Your whole genetic code is God's imprint on each of us. It may be different. It may be separate, but it makes you unique and special. God knows who you are, and He put your approval on you even before you were born, even if you're different. That's why we've got to be careful. They say, abort everything that's different. I said, no. God knows them. Hear me. As we look at this, you are not a number. You have a name. You're customized. God knows your name. You're not just one of the 7 billion that are living in this world. You have a name. Now listen to the words of Jesus. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valued than many sparrows. So we understand from these verses that God even sees the sparrows that are flying around. Even when they fall, He personally attends their funerals. But my friend, hear this. He said, you have more value than an animal. You have more value than the sparrows. He says, the very hairs on your head are numbered. That means every minute detail about you, God looks at you. He knows about you. He has studied you. He has formed you. He knows everything about you. If He knows the hairs on your head, don't you think He knows your name? Don't you think He knows your family? He knows your job. Now you don't even know how many hairs on your head, and I can't keep up. I can count the ones that have fallen. I'm losing track of that. Follow me. So Jesus knows. I studied something about hair that is very unique. If there is a crime scene and a person commits a murder or another form of crime against somebody, all they need against that person that is a criminal, if they can find one hair. And it's not necessarily the hair, but the follicle on the hair. They can trace their DNA and genetic code. So what God is saying here too, it just come to mind that not only does He know your hair, He knows everything about you from the very DNA about you. If He knows the hairs, He knows you. So as we look at this, I need you to follow me for a few more moments. Be content with who God created, if that's you. Body, life, dealings, and all. How often do people vent about having a different life or a body? I wish they had. So I've heard, this is just things I've heard over the years. I don't know why I got the husband I have. Or I don't know why I got the wife I have. I don't know why I have the kids that I have. Or born into the family I have. Or set her here or there. Whatever it is. But this is my question. This. That's what God has given you. You've got to learn to live it to its full potential. You ever heard somebody say, I could do more if... I could do more if this. If I wasn't going through this. I would do more if I wasn't like this. I could do more if my physical makeup wasn't like this. I could do more if... My question is this. You do what God called you to do, and there don't have to be any ifs in your life. You can say, I do what God called me to do because that's what He's called me to do. Now follow me. Even heroes of the faith had such thoughts even in the Bible. So we're going to understand we're not the only ones that were like this. Now follow me. In the book of Exodus, which I am currently teaching on Wednesday nights, in Exodus 4, when God told Moses to go to Egypt, one of his complaints was this, Lord, I am slow of speech. If it was a stutter, whatever it was. Lord, I can't go there. I'm slow of speech. I can't. You know, Lord, if I wasn't like this, I would. I wonder how many people say, Lord, if I would go to the mission field, if. I would be more faithful to prayer and reading, if. I would seek on to the sanctification and the ultimate infilling, if. I had time, if I was tall, if I was short. You understand what I'm saying? It's ifs everywhere in life. Moses said, Lord, I would go if I was not slow of speech. And I love God's response. God says, Moses, who made your mouth? I found out that through ultrasounds, Chloe had a mouth a long time ago before she was born. Because see her lips and mouth and all sorts of stuff I was learning. But this is one thing I know about. He had a mouth for a long time. Here it is. He's 80 years old, standing at a burning bush. And God was pretty much saying like this, Moses, 80 years ago back in Egypt, when you were in the womb of Jochebed, and there was a decree that went out from Pharaoh to kill every baby boy there. When you were in the womb of Jochebed, I made your mouth. And if I want you to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh with that mouth to let my people go, I made the mouth. It is my mouth. And go do it. So I wonder today if there's anybody in this room, what's your complaint? I don't know what it is. You know what it is. You may not say it out loud, but you know what it is. You know what you talk to God about. It's up to you. But I know God's response. Your complaint is, if, Lord, God says, if nothing, I made you. I know you. And I know your DNA. So we have to find a contentment. The day you're willing to accept yourself and acknowledge the uniqueness of God's forming process will begin in your life and the journey will be tremendous. But my friend, we have to be careful. Being inspired by somebody else is one thing, but trying to be somebody else is completely different. You didn't get saved to be like anybody else in this room. The only person you're to be like is Jesus. You may have some examples and like to mirror some good traits. But if your high standard is somebody in this room, you're wrong. Or somebody in your life. When you set Jesus up as the pinnacle in your life, and you say, look, Lord, I want to be like Jesus. I want to mirror the life of Jesus. You are fulfilling your divine purpose because follow me. You've got to follow me here. You were created in the image of God. Then we know that Jesus is the express image of God. So when you want to be like Jesus, you want to fulfill the image that God created. You follow me there? So when you want to be like Jesus, you're saying, I want to be what God created me to be. Now follow me. As we look at this in life, if you try to do anything else and try to fulfill anybody else's life, you will come up empty. Fulfill the life that God has given you, even when it doesn't make sense. Does your DNA matter? You said, Brother Derek, why didn't you say your life matters? Because we use that term all the time. Your DNA gets down to the very minute detail. Don't try to be anybody else in Christ. When you get saved, hear me, when you're a sinner, everything's all messed up. You may have a DNA, you may be following, but you're just messing up the image. But when you get saved, don't try to change who you are. Now follow me. I read a story and found this interesting. I won't be much longer. I know some may be restless, but I read a story and the name of the story was called Finding Your Way. And the man's name was Gary LaFerle, if I'm not mistaken, that was his name. During World War II, he was on a ship that was called the Astoria. And during that war that he was on that ship, they came into a conflict or a battle with another Japanese ship there. And my friend, the U.S. ship there, it sank the Japanese ship, but in the process, the vessel Astoria was badly damaged and the ship was sinking. I mean, they just had a matter of time to get everybody off. And long story short, let me tell you the shorter version here. All of a sudden, one day, that ship sank and they're down in the middle of the ocean. Then the ship is sinking and everybody on board is in the water. And all of a sudden, Gary, when he was in the water, he had an inflatable belt that he could activate around him. So when he was in the water, he pulled the cord, that belt inflated, and he was floating. And he said, as he was out there floating in the water, he was thinking to himself, I'm going to die out here. You know, there's sharks and all sorts of things out there. But he said, all of a sudden, the blessed story is this, is that they were rescued by another American ship, if I'm not mistaken. And my friend, when he got onto that American ship, he had clung to that life belt so long out there in the water, so many hours, he was hanging onto that life belt, just praying and meditating, hoping he would make it through the night. He said that while he was out there, and when he got on the ship that he was saved, he said he looked at that life belt that had saved him, and he was so grateful to something that didn't even have no life. He said that he wouldn't even let it take him from him. He just laid there with that life belt. He said he studied every stitching on it. He said it was unique. It was special. He said as he was studying that life belt, he came across a few words and it said this, Firestone Tire and Rubber Company. Ever heard of Firestone Tires? Well, obviously during World War II, they made life belts. And he said, not only that, my friend, he said as he looked at the belt, there was a registration number. And I forget how many digits it was. He said, but as he looked at the number on that belt, he said he looked at all the numbers and he said he kept looking at it. He memorized every number that was on that registration number. Long story short, when he got home, they gave him leave to go home. And Gary was sitting in his living room with his mother, who worked for Firestone Tire Company at that time. And he asked her, Mom, I know you work in different departments and all that, but what is the purpose on the number on each device? He said, when I was out there, Mother, I looked at that number, I memorized it. He said, what is the purpose of that registration number on each of these devices that was given to the military? And she said that the Firestone Company was so careful and wanted to be so precise in their work about their war effort that they assigned each supervisor a registration number that was in the factory, every supervisor. And she said, what was the number that you had? He gave the number. She said, son, that's the number. That's my registration number. I approved that vest years ago. And little did she know, it would save her son. And you said, Brother Derek, what does that got to do with the message? This is a simple fact. God has imprinted on every one of you a special design and number. Don't try to do anything else. Do what God's called you to do. And I believe one day when we stand up in the heaven and in the by and by, we'll sit down with God and He'll look at us and say, that imprint, that DNA that I've given you, it was precise, I approved it, and you did the will of God, and that's why you're here today. Hear me today, my friend. You won't make it to heaven by being somebody else. You'll make it to heaven by living the life that God has given you. As my wife goes to the piano, your DNA matters today. It matters. It matters. It matters. If you would stand to your feet all over the building. It matters. It matters. It matters. I was praying the other day about this message. I said, God, it seems different. But I feel today somebody needs to hear in this room, in a world that is demanding you to be everybody else. You ever notice what Hollywood does to our young ladies? And even adult ladies. I mean, they see something in a magazine and people feel like they have to mimic that. I'm talking about in the world. You see it all the time. That's not you. If that's not what God intended you to be, don't be that. Parents, grandparents, it's your job to let your child know only you can do the will of God in your life. God has made you for a divine purpose. And I've learned, and this will be our closing here, but I learned that everybody's life is not the same. Why is it that some suffer and some don't? Why is it that some go through things they don't understand? I'll tell you this, from every handicap to every trial, it's doing its best that you're going to make heaven your home. When you go through something, don't look at it as something that's just, oh, by chance. No, look at it and say, God, what's your appointment in my disappointments? Because I promise you this, God accepts it all. If you go through a rough life and you're doing the best you can, or for those that have a perfect life, so to speak, God cares. I read a story, and we'll close here. There was a father that had two sons, and the father was often out of town. And one of the sons was healthy, seemed perfect, so to speak. And the other son was a cripple. And this father come home one day, and he came to the fence there in the yard. And that healthy son come jumping off the steps right there. Daddy, I've missed you to death. Picked him up in his arms, swung him around. And on the porch was sitting that crippled boy who couldn't get off the porch. And that daddy walked on the porch, went over there, sat on the swing, and the healthy boy went inside, got him some lemonade, came out, took his shoes off, and was able to get around doing all this. That dad picked up that healthy son, kissed him on the cheek, and said, I appreciate all you do, son. The little son that was crippled crawled himself into the bedroom, drug himself across the hardwood floors. Went in the bedroom, got a clean pair of socks, and drug himself out back to the porch. Just dragged himself over to his daddy's feet and says, Daddy, I got you a clean pair of socks. That daddy picked him up in his arms. He says, Son, I love you and thank you for all that you do. What I'm trying to say is this. Everybody's got a different calling, a different DNA, different life, different trials, different handicap. I don't know what it is. But I want to let you know. It matters to God. Don't ask God to erase it. Embrace it. Don't ask God to change it. But let it be you. You're called to be you. And only you can do that. Amen. What I want to do today, can you find your place to pray? If you want to do it in your seat or come to these altars. Empty them pews, those that would. Find your place to pray and let God know, I don't want to be anybody else. God, what I'm facing, what I'm going through, Lord, you said the very sparrows, the very hairs on my head are numbered. And God, I want You to move in these altars. Let somebody understand that if You wanted them to be born in a different family, they would have. If You wanted them to be different, You'd have made them different. If You wanted them to have a different location, You'd move them, Lord. You know all, every minute detail. Move and touch everyone in the name of Jesus.
He knows my name. He sees my heart. He knows each step I take. He knows my deepest thoughts. Before I breathed my first breath, my life was in His hands. He has a plan for me. He knows my name. He sees my heart. He knows each step I take. He knows my deepest thoughts. Before I breathed my first breath, my life was in His hands. He has a plan for me. He knows my name. He sees my heart. He knows each step I take. He knows my deepest thoughts. Before I breathed my first breath, my life was in His hands. He has a plan for me. He knows my name. He sees my heart. He knows each step I take. He knows my deepest thoughts. Before I breathed my first breath, my life was in His hands. He has a plan for me. He knows my name. He sees heart. He knows each step I take. He knows my deepest thoughts. Before I breathed my first breath, my life was in His hands. He has a plan for me.